from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Bob Mack and Dusty. That's right. That's how you plug in that Thin Lizzy song there.
It is. Yeah.
That's how you play it in there.
Somewhere Scott Parks is not very happy that you play the only Thin Lizzy song that makes any sense to anybody.
You know how we were talking the other day about people that are like, you don't know this song.
Well, that's Scott Parks with Thin Lizzy. There's no question.
I remember the other day, Carrington was wearing a Metallica shirt. He's like, you got to take that shirt off. You can't name one Metallica song. And Carrington just goes, Enter Sandman.
Yeah.
And Scott just went right back to his day. I was like, come on,
because
man.
It wasn't a deep cut, right? He was mad because it wasn't a deep cut. He should have said, Pour Some Sugar on Me or, you know, 10, you
just
know,
the
great album
guy.
By Metallica.
Don't be that guy.
No, Parks is definitely that guy. Definitely been that guy for years. I interned for Scott Parks. And so, I interned in, I think, in 97 for Scott Parks. And he gave me the Thin Lizzy line back then. Here we are 30 years later, Dusty, and I'm still quoting a bad Thin Lizzy take from Scott Parks. But whatever. Hey, do you, Scott? Love you, brother.
Yeah, I do love Scott Parks. His favorite band is also Kiss, so I will judge.
Yeah.
Just saying.
You saw Gene Simmons die. They're not going to be able to replace him, right? A couple weeks ago.
Shut up. I think it's a different. It's a different Simmons.
Right.
Richard Simmons.
Richard?
Yep.
He was in Kiss.
Good old Dick Simmons passed away, and now Pauly Shore is using his death to be for clout.
Right.
I don't know if you saw that or not.
Yes.
So he wants to do a mockumentary, basically. He wants to play Richard Simmons, and the family's like, can you just let us grieve? And he's like, tubular.
Yeah. Speaking of names.
He the most annoying actor of the 90s?
Pauly Shore?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think there's a close second to whoever else was on that list. I mean, yeah, he's definitely up there. Well, that guy Rob Schneider may be on the list as well.
He was more like 2000s.
And the other guy that was on the list was the guy that was played was a minor recurring character in the TV series Wings.
Oh, yeah, you love Wings.
And, love Wings. And he, Gilbert Gottfried. That's the guy's name I'm looking for.
Yeah, he is dead.
Gilbert died? We lost Gilbert? Mm-hmm. When did we lose Gilbert? He was annoying in the 90s, too.
Like, that was his shtick, though.
Yeah, but it was annoying. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say it was enjoyable, because I don't know that it was. So we lost Gilbert. Huh? I didn't realize
pretty
that.
Pretty sure.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago.
I'm pretty sure he
okay.
did.
Okay, all right.
So I didn't know he didn't actually talk like that.
He doesn't really talk like
that's
that?
That's what my dad told. I was pretty disappointed. I was like, what?
Godzilla!
How do you, like, even relate to that guy? That, like, if you see him in public and he's not talking like that, are you really the same guy, right? Because you're not at that point in time.
I would hate if he left me a voicemail.
Oh, God, yes.
Back in the day.
You mentioned Richard Simmons. Like, I don't leave voicemails now, just so you guys know. I'll call, and if you don't answer, I'm not leaving a voice. Nobody listens to those.
No.
You know, nobody listens to the voicemail.
I'll text you.
Yeah, exactly. You mentioned Richard Simmons, you know, passing away as he did a couple of weeks ago. I got down a rabbit hole yesterday because I was looking at, some NFL reporter or some player was talking about Sam Darnold yesterday, you know, and he's going to be the quarterback for the Vikings. Vikings, and they're like, you know, Sam Darnold's grandfather was the original Marlboro man, right? Did you know that? Like Sam Darnold's grandfather.
No.
And do you know what his grandfather's name is? Was
General Darnold?
No, it was Dick Hammer. And you do a deep dive on Dick Hammer, okay?
Better clear your search history.
This guy was in the Olympics. He was an actor. He was a star track athlete. And I'm like, oh, my God, there it is. That's why Sam Darnold is a quarterback. He's got the gene. I didn't realize his grandfather competed in volleyball at the 64 Olympics. He played the Marlboro man as he was acting his way through life and was a star track athlete at the University of Southern California, where he was also the Marlboro man. And his granddaughter is a record holder at the University of Rhode Island women's volleyball team. So Sam Darnold's got a lot of athleticism in his life, right? Comes from great genes. But his grandfather's name was Dick Hammer.
Mm.
So now you're in on Darnold with me? Is that what
no,
I'm hearing?
No, not at all.
Even with Dick Hammer.
Even with Dick Hammer as his grandfather. I what are people thinking back then? Like, you got the last name of Hammer. Okay, great. You don't name your kid Richard.
I don't think they were thinking about that back then.
They weren't.
They were more worried about world wars.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't sitting there going, I'm going to name him Keyston.
Yeah.
I want to be original. Well, we could get bombed any day. All right, Dick, get out there. Okay, fair enough.
Dick Hammer, born July 17th, 1930. So
good for him.
Yeah, but must be approaching 100. So
he couldn't have been in World War II.
No, he was 30. No,
42,
no,
he was 12.
Yeah, right now. So
well, back then, is Kenny Walker?
Look, my grandfather lied about his age to get into the war back then. Yeah, I think he was 17 at the time and said he was 18 so he could go fight in the war. Like, people did that kind of stuff back then, right?
Speaking of Dick Hammer, there was a hammer that got put down yesterday by yours truly.
Pasquantino drills it high in the air, deep to right field. Sheets just watches it fly. Vinny Pasquantino launches a two-run homer. The Royals take an 8-3 lead in the top of the ninth inning.
This is more than a good team.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that we don't need to sit here and talk about how they beat the White Sox 10-3 or whatever. They swept a team again. They went 12-1 against that team.
That's what you have to do against. Like, can I just do a quick sidebar? Is that the worst professional team you've ever seen play in any sport?
I watched one last year in this city play. 106 losses is pretty bad.
I don't know that it was like this, though.
It was pretty bad. We had Hunter Dozier in the lineup until like May. And it's like, what are we doing?
No, I mean, this White Sox team, man.
Yeah, they're not bad.
Oh, my God.
They're bad. It's like, and that's the thing about baseball is when you're bad, it's such a long season and it's in the middle of summer and then you have another team that comes in there and just starts raking. Yeah, they're bad.
They're a bad team.
I watched a Detroit Lions team go winless.
Yeah.
I've watched the Cleveland
Browns. But that's only once a week, right?
Sure, but I mean, it was for 17 weeks.
White Sox have lost 17 in a row.
Correct. Yeah.
Oh.
Franchise record.
Yeah.
And, you know, I watched the Chiefs 1 year go 2-14, and it was like all they had was Jamal Charles. Yeah. I know they had a defense. They had Tomba and Barry and all those
like
guys.
Six Pro Bowlers off of that team.
All on defense. All on defense. Wow. And then there was Jamal. So, like,
right.
I've seen bad, like.
And the Chiefs, I mean, the Chiefs that year in 2012, I call that, that's the worst single season that any NFL franchise has ever had. And somebody goes, well, what about the 0-16 Lions? The way that whole season went down with all the off the field drama that ended with the Jovan Belcher murder suicide, like that to me takes the cake for the worst season in the history, you know, of the NFL. But, you know, they did have some Pro Bowlers on that team and it was the NFL. But this White Sox team right now, man, like it is brutal. Like, I found myself yesterday going, just end the game, like wave the white flag, finish this thing after seven. Like, I just can't sit here and stomach watching this team anymore. Just absolutely just kind of, you know, pretend and go through the motions like that. But that's what you have to do, like in sports. Like, there's no benefit in going 500 in professional sports. Either be good or be really, really bad so you can get rid of all the players and start over, just like the Royals did last year, right? Like, they were honest with everybody and said, look, this is going to be an evaluation season. And they went in and evaluated and they said, we don't have anything that's all that great here, so let's get rid of 17 of these people and bring in new players. And you start to see the way that the Royals did it. You have to wonder, under, you know, in a small way, Dusty. Like, are the White Sox trying to do that same thing? And are other teams going to follow this Royals mold? Because after 14 and 15 with the bullpen, everybody started investing in the bullpen. And the Royals a year ago with 106 losses, which the White Sox should blow past 106 losses, right? They're at 83 or 84 already, right? Blow the doors off the 106 losses that the Royals had. Are they going to approach the offseason the same way that the Royals did, and that's taking chances on veteran players that maybe are looking for a different opportunity or a new situation like you did with Waka and you did with Lugo? Like, what we're watching with the Royals right now, is that going to be the blueprint going forward for a lot of teams in Major League Baseball? Because it's working right now, and as we know, sports is such a copycat league.
Yeah, it's working because they did their research and they knew what they could go out and find, right? They got Seth Lugo, who basically was betting on himself.
Yep.
And the Royals were like, well, we don't really have any other option.
Right.
Michael Waka was basically just like, hey, we're not going to sign you. You're also out of San Diego. We'll go get somebody else because we have money and you don't fit our system. Perfect fit for the Royals. Cole Reagans was a trade that J.J. Piccolo should get every day, night and day, reminded of how good of a trade that was. Brady Singer, the way he's pitching, I might give Brady Singer game one ball of the playoffs.
Yeah.
And that's homegrown.
Mm-hmm.
But this is more than a good team. White Sox, by the way, 27 and 84.
84. Yeah. 84. 27 and 84.
Yeah, pretty bad.
God.
Not great.
Yeah.
And the reason I say this is more than a good team is because every year, at least I feel like, we see some sort of team have some sort of narrative like this when they get into the playoffs, and then you hear about all these stories. So we're going to tell you what they are first before you hear Joe Buck or whoever it is talk about it on Fox in October. They have more than just an MVP candidate. Everybody knows now who Bobby Witt Jr. is. Mm-hmm. We know what he should be. By the way, Aaron Judge goes 0 for 4 yesterday, golden sombrero. For those of you that don't know the terminology, 4 strikeouts.
Bobby and the Yankees still won yesterday.
So they didn't need.
And they beat the Phillies yesterday, which is the second best team in baseball behind Cleveland on the road.
Yeah.
And they won a game, Aaron Judge 0 for 4. If Bobby Witt goes 0 for 4 and has 4 strikeouts, do you think the Royals are going to win that night?
Probably not.
Probably not. That tells you he's the MVP.
He also extended his hit streak to 15 games. In the end of the month of July, he almost hit 500 for the month. He had one day, I can't get over this stat, I know it's very small, one day in a 31-day month. So what they have, like, I can try to see what that schedule says. 3 off days
in
July?
Well, you had the All-Star break, okay, which was 4.
Okay, so they had 7 off days?
Maybe, yeah, sure, whatever.
So one day during July, he didn't have a hit.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
why not? That's unacceptable.
Right. Yeah.
Has anybody looked into that?
Outside of MVP candidate, I think personally, and I could bathe myself in bias, you have the coach of the year candidate. This team went from 56 to 86 wins easily.
Mm-hmm.
I think they can get more than that. They're now 11 games above 500 on August 1st. That's a team that's better than just good. They're 6 back from the division, tied with Minnesota. They're tied for the second spot in the wild card. They have a 2-game lead over the Boston Red Sox. You're getting ready to play three out of four. You need 3 out of 4 against the Tigers in a 4-game series,
yeah.
I believe.
Well, the Tigers aren't very good. You got to go in there and take care
of this.
Right,
and they just got rid of Flaherty. Scooble's still there.
Right.
And then you have the big one. You have Monday through Wednesday, August 5th, or 4th, 5th, and 6th against the Red Sox. So just keep moving. Just keep the engine running and keep this sort of momentum, because sometimes when you go kick teams' ass like Chicago, you kind of find yourself, and then you go play Detroit 3 out of 4 if you can win that. You're going to play for 4. Split, I'd be okay with. 3 out of 4 is what I'm hoping they get.
Yeah, I'm not okay with a split against Detroit. These are the teams that you need to make hay against, because after this Detroit series, then it does get really tough. Then you have the Twins, then you have the Red Sox, then you have the Indians, then you have the Astros. Like, and the Astros are battling right now for that division out there out west. I don't know that the West gets another team in other than the division winner this year. So there's going to be a tough battle out there. But, you know, I think this team has arrived. I think it's August 1st, right? Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's August 1st.
Yeah.
This team is in the playoffs right now. And that means you're a good baseball team. There's no more wondering if this is a good team. They added to the bullpen. That Egress guy or whatever his name is from Oakland that they got looked nasty yesterday on the mound. That guy was dealing like it was nobody's business yesterday. Even Salvi after the game was like, that guy's sick. So you've got yourself some reinforcements. You've got a good starting rotation. You've got guys in the lineup that have great timely hitting right now. You've got some leadership in there with Salvi and some of these other guys that have been around the block. Obviously, Will Smith as well, who's been, you know, in the World Series the last 17 years or whatever it is. So, you know, the odds are pretty good when they signed Will Smith. It was like, he always goes to the World Series, and people are like, well, it's the Royals. But look where they are right now. They're in a position right now in August, on August 1st, to be a playoff team. The playoff push is officially on. It's officially go time right now. That's why, to me, splitting with Detroit is just not acceptable. You got to go out there and you got to win these games, and you got to stack these wins, because eventually you're not going to play the White Sox and the Tigers, right? So you have to take advantage of it when you play them. And that's why 3 out of 4 to me is a must in this series. 3 out of 4 is the only thing, other than a sweep, obviously, that would be acceptable. And I know it's a lot of pressure on these guys right now, but October is going to be a lot of pressure as well. So you might as well start feeling it right now, treating all of these like playoff games. Go out there with that must-win attitude, because if you suffer losses in Detroit, again, we'll be looking back and going, damn, if they didn't lose 3 out of 4, they didn't just split, if they got 3 out of 4 there, it's a completely different ballgame. So you got to go out there and you got to take care of business against the Tigers. Keep losing teams, losing, and they're losers.
There was a lot of losses yesterday. If it was up to me, everybody get off the field. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Lake, as we dive into what happened at Chiefs camp yesterday. You're listening to Fesco in the Morning on 610 Sports Radio.
Well, Thin Lizzy on a Thursday. I like it. I like what you're doing back there. I get the theme. It's a Thin Lizzy Thursday here.
I feel like it's, well, at least we started off with a little bit of a grouch lord. Thin Lizzy blows.
Yeah.
Another blank band kiss.
Oh.
Well, come on now, cheer up.
Yeah, what's your band? It's Thursday, the best day of the week, because tomorrow's Friday.
I thought the best day of the week was Tuesday.
Tuesday, no.
It's the worst day.
You have football tonight for the NFL, even though nobody's playing, and I don't care.
Right.
You've got Ben Maller at 7:15.
That's right.
You've got the Royals at 5:40.
Yeah, I love the early 5:40 start, man.
So does Carrington.
That is beautiful. Yeah, Carrington.
Talk about a back-to-back beautiful days, right?
Yeah,
show yesterday.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Off the air at 4:30 today.
Yeah.
Vern will join you at 4:30 tonight. So, we get to watch an entire Royals game, and we can fall asleep at, 7:45?
The Royals game may be over before the NFL game even kicks off.
5:40.
Because I was watching some of the Yankees and Phillies the other day. It started at 5:40, and then the Royals game started at 7. I flipped over. It's like already the sixth inning. I'm like, man, I love the way baseball is moving right now, guys. I don't know about you. Is anybody complaining about the pitch clock anymore? It is the greatest thing in our lifetimes that we've seen put into sports. It has changed the game so dramatically in such a great way for everybody.
And not only that, the stadium's realizing, because they're like, you know what? You can buy beer until the bottom of the eighth.
Well, that is the one thing I will say. When you go to a game, they may move a little bit too fast when you're at the game.
Because
if you stand in line for concessions at any ballpark these days, you're missing 4 innings. It's just incredible.
I found it the most beautiful thing in the world. You can bring in your own food.
Yeah, absolutely. You can bring in a nice ham sandwich on some Wonder Bread. It's fantastic.
Or you can go to Jersey Mike's.
Yeah,
either one.
You could do that too.
That to me is the perfect way to do a Royals game on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Go to, say it's you and the wife, right? Or you and the kids and the wife. You get 2 gigantic subs, or just 1, cut it into fours, take in a bag of chips. Here you go.
There you go. Yeah.
And then whatever. You can bring in liquids as long as the cap's sealed.
Yeah, exactly.
So this whole, like, everything's too expensive, there are ways around it.
My dad used to tell a story about how when he went to a Yankee game one year, his mom made him take a tuna fish sandwich because it was Friday, and he wasn't allowed to eat meat, and so he was ticked and was like, I can't have a hot dog at the game, and I have to eat this tuna fish sandwich when everybody else is eating hot dogs because it's Friday, and I'm not supposed to eat meat on Friday.
Chiefs will play their first game in, I believe, 10 days, 8
10 days.
Days?
Yeah,
next Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday, yeah.
Yeah, which is kind of interesting that we're already here.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not, Hall of Fame game tonight. But good God, yesterday was one of those days where if I was Andy Reid, and I'm not, and I'm proud to say that I'm not because he's such more qualified at what he does than I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm blowing the whistle and getting everybody the hell out of practice.
Yeah, yesterday was a rough one, right?
That was the first day where, like, we're on our phones. We're like, another one's down. We're like doing post-show production. And you, myself, and Mac are like, Tony's in the tent. He's in the cart. Oh, God, Nick Bolton's hurt. Another guy. And it's like, dude, call practice. Get it over with. I understand that that's not the proper protocol. But Bolton gets an injury. Tony gets hurt again. Here we go. We're hitting August, and football has officially begun.
Well, it has. And we talked a little bit about actually both of those guys yesterday about, kind of where they stand. And we were talking Tony and Sky Moore. I just don't think both of those guys make the roster. I think it's one or the other. I can't see both Sky Moore and Kadarius Tony making this thing. And, one of the reports that I got from somebody up there was that the best thing about Kadarius Tony right now is that he was staying healthy. And they're like, hey, he's actually staying healthy. And then he goes into the tent, and then he's hurt. And, you can't make the club in the tub. And I don't think Kadarius Toney, quite honestly, is one of those guys that gets the opportunity to have a free pass, right? Like, he hasn't shown enough to say, yeah, he's hurt, but he can still be a producer for us. I just don't know if the quarterback necessarily has confidence in Kadarius Toney at this stage of his career. And how could you, right? I mean, the guy couldn't line up,
right,
you know, and get in position the proper way. It's not even like catching the football. It's the fact that he couldn't line up on sides.
Oh, he broke Mahomes. You know, last
it broke Mahomes. like he legitimately broke Patrick Mahomes, right? Yeah. Like, other teams should hire Kadarius Toney to break Patrick Mahomes, right? So him being hurt doesn't help his chances of making this roster. And then Nick Bolton, a guy who they would, I think, like to re-sign, but again, now he's hurt, and you wonder how long this injury is going to be, you know, for Nick Bolton. And so you'd like to get him out there. But on the other hand, the flip side is, and I'm sure this is how Andy Reid is approaching it, it's an opportunity for the next guy up. And this is why this team is good, because I don't want to say they're good because guys get injured and other guys step in, but these are valuable reps for some of the backups right now, and for an opportunity for some guys to get a chance to you know, to see what they can do. And so you got to take advantage of those opportunities, and obviously that's what they're going to do. But this whole Kadarius Toney thing, like getting injured yesterday, look, I know people don't plan to get injured, blah, 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 all that nonsense. But this is a guy who just continues to not give himself the best opportunity to go out there and to make this team. And so I wouldn't be surprised if Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, one of those guys may be traded, one of those guys may be cut, maybe one of those guys they try to hide to bring him back on the practice squad. Like, there's just a lot of question marks surrounding those two dudes right now up at training camp.
Which is interesting because, and Mac, you can dive in on this, see if you agree or disagree, but it's funny that we go into camp when I would think that, like, maybe Kadarius Toney had to have a clean sheet, right? Not only, like, not saying they had to be perfect, but this is one of those things where it's like, we could start calling him, like, Adalberto Toney Kadarius Mondesi.
Yeah.
Because it's like, dude, like, Adalberto Mondesi, I remember Dayton Moore's like, yeah, we put him in this program. We got this, like, sort of monitoring body system. Still got hurt. And finally, it was just like, sorry, dude, we can't do this anymore.
Right.
I think Kadarius Toney's on that same page. And when you're a veteran receiver, and I'm sorry, 3 years in the league for Sky Moore, or 30 years in the league for Sky Moore, you're now a veteran.
Yeah, sure you are.
When those are your concerns of, like, can you do this, can you do that? And then you have the guy in Xavier Worthy who's blowing people away. The chemistry looks like it's there with Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. The talent is obviously there, and he just keeps making plays in camp.
Right.
When you're talking about that like a rookie, and then you're talking about these other guys that are veterans, and it's like, you can't really do anything wrong, or it's just you've failed too many tests to where, like, if you don't get an A on every test the rest of the semester, you're not going to pass the class. And I think that's where Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore are.
No, I don't disagree with that. I think they're both in that situation right now. And then, you know, look, again, you know, first world problems, Mission Hills problems right now, right? We're sitting here talking about Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney and whether or not they can make the roster. Not whether or not, like, most teams would look at guys like that and say, how can we fit them in? How can we make them part of what we're going to do on offense? They've got speed. They've got talent. Oh, my God. You know, guys in professional sports fall in love with other guys who have talent, right? And they think they can always get the most out of them. Eventually, you can't. Eventually, you just have to say, this guy is just not a very good player. He may have talent, but he has no idea how to realize that talent. I think that's kind of where we are with Kadarius Toney. I think Sky Moore just maybe was overvalued a little bit, and, you know, when they drafted him or whatnot, and, you know, but
he had good makeup.
Yeah, whatever the case may be, however you want to define it, right?
But first in, last out.
Yeah, but some guys just get hurt all the time, like, and that sucks. And that was Mondesi, right? Like, yep. Like Mondesi didn't want to be hurt, right? Mondesi just always got hurt. There are guys in this world that are just very fragile, that one hit and they're done or they're out. And it just, it gets frustrating as a fan base. I know big time, because who wouldn't want Sky Moore to be good? Who wouldn't want Kadarius Toney to be good and add to this team? But right now they're not bringing a whole lot to the party. And quite honestly, I don't think this team either needs Kadarius Toney or Sky Moore with where they are right now. And that's coming off a season where, you know, you've got a wide receiver core that was much maligned, but they went out there and they fixed that wide receiver core. And I saw something yesterday from NFL Network's Tom Pelissero saying the Chiefs, he believes, now are officially the fastest team in the NFL, passing the Miami Dolphins. And I'm like, boy, you got a lot of speed out there right now. Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, you're just a guy right now. And you've got to do so much more to catch the eye of the coaching staff and the front office to even make the team right now. And being in the tub and dropping passes ain't going to get it done.
Not a chance.
Ain't gonna
it's
get
not
it
just
done.
Another day.
It's today.
That's right.
And football happens today. The Hall of Fame game tonight. Why I will not be watching, what Bob likes to watch in this game, and you know Max watching quarters.
Oh, Max is going to have his shirt off rubbing Crisco on his chest.
Oh, man, he's going to have ice cubes on the nipples. Woo, I'm football. Dusty Likens. That's Bob Fesco.
You and Binkley together.
Oh, boy, that's a dangerous combination. I've been there, done that, and I'll do it again. Mac Morey as well. This is 610 Sports Radio. You're listening to Fesco in the Morning.
All the time has gone.
Don't fear the Reaper.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Porch rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
This is a cult I would join. Blue Oyster.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I've never had a Blue Oyster. A lot of gray oysters.
Yeah.
This song reminds me of two things. One, the obvious, Will Ferrell.
Okay.
Two, your boy. Yeah. Was in what we call Mr. Wildcat back in 2006.
I don't know what that is.
It was a male beauty pageant.
Oh, nice. Did you win?
Yes.
No.
I did. You did a swimsuit, a talent, and you got to answer a question like normal.
What was the question that you were asked?
If you could have any Halloween costume the rest of your life, what would it be?
Halloween costume?
Yep. That year I happened to be a sugar daddy, which was the candy wrapper.
Yeah, right.
I said, you can't go wrong with that. How you doing, ladies? Right. On the microphone. Got some laughs.
Uh-huh.
My song or my talent, I sang We Didn't Start the Fire with no words.
Oh, wow. Great.
Start to finish.
Again.
And then my swimsuit was I cut a pair of jeans all the way up to my bag and basically at Daisy Duke's, and I came out with a cowbell and a skin tight white t-shirt. And the girl that introduced me said, Dusty Likens has a fever, and the only fever is more cowbell. And I heard my father laugh from like the back row. I was like, I don't care if I win or not. I made my dad proud wearing Daisy Dukes, dude.
That is fantastic.
Up, yeah. I think I got like fifth out of like 12 people in the swimsuit competition.
You got fifth.
Hey, top five.
Wow, that's too bad. I thought you should have won that thing.
Yeah,
man.
Dude. Yeah. I need more cowbell. Came out not needing to wear those shorts.
Yeah.
Of course, one of my buddy, Chris, he was like a starting safety for the football team.
Uh-huh.
He came out on a little kid's tractor too. I think my tractor's sexy.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, he took two giant glasses of water and poured over him. And I watched all the teachers be like, that's a student. That's a student. That's a student.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Oh, yeah. Okay. He was jacked.
I bet. Yeah.
Still looks great. Looks like Bon Jovi.
Oh, nice. With the hair.
Oh, it's did yeah.
He's, does he get it permed?
No, he just it's just perfect. Yeah. He looks like a mixture of like James Vanderbeek and John Bon Jovi.
James Vanderbeek. That's Set that's a life. Great C-list celebrity right there. Yeah,
Set for Life.
Good for him, man. That's awesome.
Speaking of good for him, Mac, I need to know from the bottom of your heart, in all honesty, how much of this game tonight are you watching? Because your boy's not playing. Nobody's playing. But I don't even know if C.J. Stroud's playing.
Yeah, has Houston announced what they're going to do yet? Or are they going to do? Is this a game time decision
this
for this thing?
Because
this is technically
like a free game. Like they still play three more preseason games.
Well, I don't know if it's a free game per se. This is one where like they play on bad turf, the paint gets hard, and people get hurt, and then they cancel the game. Right.
Right.
This is the same same game that we've seen over the years with this thing. Right.
We're mentioning the Hall of Fame game.
Right. Of course. Right. Tonight. Right. Yeah. Like, and I saw a tweet this morning. We finally made it to what? What do we make it to? You know, I mean, and it was a picture of the Hall of Fame game graphic night. This is preseason football we're talking about again.
Just because
the NFL is rolling it out doesn't mean it's going to be a good product, right? My plan is to try to just see one series apiece, right? One offensive series for Team A and one offensive series for Team B, and then turn it off. And I'll be honest with you, there's a good chance that I do forget that game is on because the Royals start at 5:40 and we're caught up in Royals baseball and watching what's going on in Detroit.
Yeah.
It may become 7:15, 7:30. I go, oh, that's right. The Hall of Fame game's on. Eh, the hell with it. I'll catch it on the flip side. And if something happens, I'll see it on Twitter and see it on X. I don't make time in my life for preseason football because the players don't even make time in their life for preseason football, right? It's just such a waste of time for everybody involved. And so from my standpoint, if I catch a series of each team on offense, great. That's kind of what I want to see. But also, too, with Caleb Williams not playing, and like that's a guy you want to see. Like, there's curiosity there. I would make it a point to tune in if he was going to play because whether you like him or you don't, I tune in just to see, you know, what it's all about. But they're not giving you that opportunity, so I don't feel like I owe it to them to kind of figure out what's going on out there.
No, it's fair. I'll probably have the first half at least.
Okay.
And after that, I'll probably tune out. I want to see some of the second string guys and some of the rookies who get to play and be like, oh, that's I remember him. I remember, you know, scouting him. I remember watching him in college. Or, oh, that second string quarterback.
Big scout, are you?
Big
scout sitting there with your notepad.
Dive deep in the tape. You know me, Bob.
You got to get those fantasy sleepers ready.
And then there's going to be the shots where they show Caleb Williams with a headset on, and I'm going to just be super excited.
Is he making the trip even? Like, if you're Caleb Williams, like, hey, I'm not going on that
thing. Oh, they'll all be there. You'll have, like, a five-minute monologue of, like, just him on the sidelines, and they'll be talking about what's next for the Chicago Bears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're gonna definitely tell us he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. So, yeah.
Are we going to see Romeo Odunze play tonight?
I don't think so.
I don't think he's not even playing.
My God.
No. And I'll be honest with you. I'll have it on. I'll want to see the opening ceremonies, see the guys that are going to the Hall of Fame that are going to be inducted. That's kind of cool because, like I said yesterday, like, this is how I know I'm getting old. I watched all these guys play in my, like, young youth, like, teenage, like, early 20 years. Devin Hester, Julius Peppers, Andre Johnson, Dwight Freeney. I don't know if I'm missing anybody else. Those are the big names, right, that are going in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I still remember watching Julius Peppers play for North Carolina.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Basketball team. Yeah, exactly.
So, again, like, I'll watch it to kind of, like, see the graphics and see what's going on. I'll pay attention on X. But, like, I'm like you, man. Like, 5:40, Royals are going on during commercial or maybe after the game's over.
Yeah.
Your boy is going to be in bed watching the Hall of Fame game to go to sleep.
Like, who's watching the third quarter of this
Mac
game,
Warren.
Right? Like,
maybe.
Your answer's right over there across the glass.
Yeah, Jay Binkley up in Parkville. He registered one viewer watched the second half. And so somewhere in Parkville. I don't know.
Which is interesting because none of us are really good at, well, Mac will watch this game a lot, and I'll watch, I digress. I will watch probably the first quarter while I'm still awake.
Like, what is the Royals are tied 2-2? You're not switching over to watch that game.
That's fair. No. That's fair.
You know?
What's also fair is next Saturday when the Chiefs play, I will be locked in.
Yeah.
Like, dude, we'll probably have people over the house. It's just when it's not your team, I think in preseason it's different because, you know, we're all wanting to see what, you know, the Chiefs are going to show, which will be nothing.
Other thing, I just can't put in the effort as a fan to watch these games when the teams aren't putting in an effort, right? And that's why we go back to the 18-game schedule and, you know, people saying, oh, my God, the 18-game schedule and whatnot. It knocks another one of these useless preseason games off, man.
Right.
It just does. And, you know, the teams, the players, they don't take them seriously. I don't want to hear it's good for the fifth guy, you know, backing up the backup center. I don't care about that guy. I really don't. The teams can have their, you know, their glorified scrimmages and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
But when it starts is what, 4 weeks from tonight, right? Is that what we're looking at? 4 weeks from tonight, 35 days or what, I guess it's 5 weeks from tonight, 35 days, I think it is, until we play the Baltimore Ravens. That's what matters. And preseason games have always scared me because there's so much risk and there is zero reward in a preseason game. God forbid somebody goes out there like we saw Trent Green, you know, back in the day, blow out his knee and things of that nature. Guys get hurt in these preseason games that teams are counting on. That's why I'm so anti-preseason football, is because they're exhibition games and people do get hurt and teams, I mean, my goodness, teams have, you know, the ultimate of up going into training camp, and then somebody big gets hurt in one of these exhibition games, and then you have the ultimate of down, and then you got a guy guy bagging groceries at Hy-Vee has to come in and be your savior.
Right. Speaking of the Hall of Fame game and the Chiefs and all that sort of thing, is there a Hall of Fame inductee tonight in their prime that you'd put on this Chiefs team right now?
For me, Devin Hester would be that guy, because I don't feel like we know who going to be the kick returner is going to be right now. And with all the speed that this team has added in, I'd like to have another speed demon, a guy that's reliable, a Hall of Fame returner, Hall of Fame wide receiver, a guy that can kind of get, you know, do it all on the offensive end. I would add in Devin Hester to this team. How fun would an in prime Devin Hester be with Patrick Mahomes right now, right? Like, think about that. Think about that in your dreams tonight. Patrick Mahomes up over the top. Devin Hester's there to catch it and haul it in. And then he's back there returning kicks and taking him to the house. Like, Devin Hester would make this team give everybody else more nightmares than they're already having right now. So that's who I would go with. Not that I thought about this for a lot.
And he'd be lining up right next to Marquise Brown and Xavier
Worthy. Could you imagine trips to the right? Jeez. Right? Oh, here you go. Boom, 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 boom. Touchdown.
Yeah, that's very tempting. I went with the defensive side. Julius Peppers, 11 to 12 sacks a year. I mean, multiple forced fumbles. Just an absolute monster. You pair that with Jones and Karlaftis, and now you've got a three-headed monster up front. So, yeah, give me Peppers. But Devin Hester's, it's tempting to think about.
Julius Peppers would be good, man. I think it would be a lot of fun to watch that dude play alongside Chris Jones. Yes. Like, how do you stop that defensive line?
I went with Andre Johnson.
Love it.
He's not going in this time.
He is.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, it's Andre Johnson. I was thinking of who were we talking about? Calvin Johnson.
Calvin Johnson's already in.
It's Dwight Freeney, Devin Hester, Andre Johnson, Julius Peppers, and Patrick Willis.
Andre Johnson is the perfect prototype for a Mahomes receiver. Big, strong, fast, beat the hell out of Brandon Finnegan 1 year in a football game. I remember that to this day. And from the U, so I love him even more. But Andre Johnson, big guy outside, Mahomes throwing to him. That's
the big receiver that Mahomes has really never had, right?
I mean, he had Juju, and that's basically
I'm going to say it. That's the big receiver that Mahomes really never had.
And that's
right?
Like the perfect prototype for me, at least, for Patrick Mahomes to be somebody like Andre Johnson.
You see, Juju may not make it to the New England Patriots this
year.
Come
on back.
No, not interested. No, thank you.
I'm kidding. It's gone for Juju.
It's too bad.
And also, MVS is like running third with Buffalo now.
He may miss.
But that's the guy who made Aaron Rodgers and Mahomes the MVP.
And one of two Super Bowls.
Yeah, so MVS may not even make the team. So, so Andre Johnson would be that guy that Mahomes really has never had, that they've always kind of been looking for when they brought in Kelvin Benjamin, like guys like that back in the day to try to give you that big target. We've never really had that huge, big wide receiver target like an Andre Johnson, type of guy that could line up on the outside and just go up and get it. So that would be a definite different ad than what we've seen, with this wide receiver core. I kind of like it. There's not a wrong answer with that.
Not really.
One, right?
No. Not at all. Fesco of the Morning brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. Another Bobby Witt stat that'll make your head turn. Not only that, we dive more into what the Olympics were and what was a dominant performance yesterday. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. Damn, glad to have you on a Thursday on 610 Sports Radio. Back here on Fesco in the Morning, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens with you on 610 Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great Thursday. Looks beautiful. I'll be honest with you guys. First old man moment last night.
Uh-oh.
Did not hear any of the storm.
And I didn't either. No, either.
I guess it was a powerful storm because I'm driving in here. Saw a couple of trees on the side of the road. Looked
down
at my yard
night.
In the backyard this morning. Was like, same. We got some rain.
My wife came up last night and she said to me, she goes, I brought the cushions in because it's supposed to storm tonight. I said, okay. So the last I remember, and I woke up this morning, she goes, where's the dog? I said, she's hiding under the couch there, under the chair, wherever it was. And she goes, it was really bad last night with the storm. I'm like, I slept right through that thing. I had no idea what went on, but I'm a sound sleeper. Like, things can go out of the house. I have no idea what's going on. I mean, once I'm out, I am out. So I completely missed that thing last night. I had an old man moment yesterday too. Mm-hmm. I was sitting out back looking at my firewood yesterday, as you tend to do, right? And I'm thinking to myself, do I need to get a moisture meter for my wood? to see how much moisture is in that wood. I'm wondering if this wood is seasoned enough and ready to go. 87% of the voters on Twitter said, yes, that's an old man move.
I thought you were going to say 87-year-old activities.
No,
and I was going to agree with that as well.
That too. But you don't want to burn wet wood. You got to make sure it's seasoned. And my friend Paul had a pine tree come down. We took it back in March. And I'm like, has anybody burned any of this wood yet? And he goes, yeah, I burned a little of it. It's not snapping or anything like that. But you got to make sure it's really dry. So I was thinking about buying a moisture meter for my wood. But then I'm like, it's $14.99 on Amazon. How many times am I going to have to use that to get my... And then I said, all right, it's time to go inside.
Yep. Time to put the phone down.
Yeah.
You'll like this, Bob, from the 913. Use Park and Go for the first time this morning on the Shuttle Now. Fantastic service.
Absolutely they are, man. Thank you for using them. They're outstanding. You're going to love Park and Go when you go up there to the airport.
Royals on, I guess, still in the Midwest. They go to Detroit for four. It's Seth Lugo tonight against a pitcher that has, I think, a 6 ERA.
Cool.
So, off to a good start.
Yeah.
Bobby Witt Jr. is already going to be announced probably later on in the week, either today or tomorrow, the player of the month in the MLB for July in the AL. Dave Holtzman, your buddy, had a stat that came out. Bob Witt Jr. will end the month of July with a .489 batting average and exactly 100 plate appearances.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good sample size.
Yeah.
Will be the best average in any month in Royals history, minimum 100 plate appearances by a wide margin. The next closest, one of my favorite Royals of all time, Joe Randa in July of 99 hit .442, and Willie Wilson, your guy, in July of 1980 hit .441.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much to say Bobby's figured the league out, or maybe he at least has still seen the ball as a beach ball or a sun or whatever you want to call it. Kid just continues to impress.
Yeah, he really does. And it's wild to watch what he does. And just, I mean, you're still in awe of it. And we talked to Q about it yesterday. And you know, I said, I love watching Bobby on the bases. He's good for you. I thought it was a very, really good answer by Q yesterday on that one. But every time he was on the bases yesterday, what did he do? He scored again. Something good happens every time he gets on the base paths. And, you know, the one name that's missing on that list that Holtzman put out is the Hall of Famer, George Brett, right? George was not on that list as one of the three highest batting averages in a month for the Kansas City Royals in their history. And I started to think about it in those terms, of Hall of Fame terms, with George Brett and Bobby Witt Jr. and Aaron Judge and kind of where we are in this MVP race.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know what? The batting average stat that we're looking at right now with Bobby Witt, that's probably the hardest thing to lead the league in when it comes to stats. Home runs, a lot of it is where you are. A lot of it's, you know, you got some power, you're playing in a bandbox in New York and whatnot. And sometimes there's a lot of luck in home runs. RBIs, if you lead the league in RBIs, that's great. That's impressive. But you're also relying on other guys to get on base in front of you. Mm-hmm. So you're able to be in those RBI situations. So you don't have a lot of control over that. And then you got batting average. And to me, the more I think about it, and I know like the nerds out there are going to go, oh, I don't know about batting average. It's better to strike out, all that nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Batting average shows you dominated consistently all year long. And I think that's the hardest hitting stat to lead a league in for an entire year, because a batting average is basically you being consistently really good all season long. And that's hard to do. Like, it's hard to go through a baseball season and not go through a slump. Ask Aaron Judge, 0-for-4, 4 strikeouts yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Witt Jr. hit .489, is hitting about .350 for the year. If he maintains that for the next 2 months, that to me is more impressive than leading the league in home runs or leading the league in RBIs, because you would have basically led the big leagues in consistency from the time the first pitch was thrown in March to the time the last pitch was thrown at the end of September. And if Bobby Witt can lead the American League in batting average, or he leads MLB in batting average, whatever the case may be, that to me stands out more than somebody who leads at home runs and RBIs, because batting average is all about you, and it's all about you being consistently good the entire year. And if he blows everybody else away and you know, wins the batting average crown by 30 points, which is what he's leading it over right now, how do you not put Bobby Witt Jr. as the MVP? And I just kind of had that last night. Not seeing George on the list made me realize how impressive batting average really is in Major League Baseball. And I think over the years, with all the analytics and advanced stats and all the nerdism that has come into the game, we have forgotten that batting average is still, in my opinion, the ultimate storyteller to how good you were that season.
This was the MLB Network on Bobby Witt Jr.
Tell me about Bobby Witt. Dero said
he
yesterday.
He makes you feel some kind of way.
Might be the truly best player in the game.
That's what Dero said yesterday. You agree?
Yeah, I think you start a franchise
Watch.
Around this guy.
Just Good. Athleticism, everything. He has it all.
To play the game, though.
Speed.
Play so hard.
RBI singles.
Runs out every ground ball. Like, this is what you want your best player on the team to play like.
Royals tie it. Next batter, Vinny Asquintino. RBI single to left. The throw.
Can they
into
bring
second.
The Sasquatch on the road?
No. Look at him getting around the bag.
Look at him. 4-3. Final.
Salivating.
Yeah. And he does. He does do that sort of thing where he's a special kind of player. And I think George Brett always said it best, and he said it in the Bo Jackson Hall of Fame for the Royals. I was there when he said it, and I've heard him say it a couple times, is that there are certain players that come around, and not very many, where you dictate what you're doing next depending on where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday was one of those things. Every time Bobby Witt Jr. came up, I put my phone down and I watched
TV. You watch the at-bat, yeah.
If I'm getting ready to cook outside, and it's, you know, bottom of the sixth, the game's 1-1, and Bobby Witt Jr. is going to come up, I'm going to delay what's going to happen because of that. So, like, the audio you hear there is that he's a special kind of player. He is, because he is the dictionary definition of a five-tool player. He might be a six-tool player. Mm-hmm. If it ever existed, he could be the one that would make that system kind of change because of what he's done. And like you said, when you start to go through the season and you're like, yeah, Bobby Witt Jr. is great. Yeah, he's done a lot of good things. And you start seeing statistics where it's like he could have 10 triples, 30 home runs, 30 stolen bases, and, you know, 25 or 30 doubles.
Mm-hmm.
No player's ever finished the season with that.
Right.
He's hitting 340 plus, and it's August 1st. There are things that he continues to do that maybe we're already taking for granted, which I don't think is wrong, because here in this market, you're watching Royals games more often than not, or you're listening to Royals games more often than not. Reminder, Vern will go on the air at 4:30 tonight for your Royals pregame show. But that's not that far out of the reach. And going through this year, we're continuing to hear the same sort of stuff from MLB Network. What is he going to do next that impresses you? Well, he just went the entire month of July and only one day he didn't have a hit.
Mm-hmm.
What's he going to continue to do? How does he make this team better? Well, they've already won more games than they've won the year before. They're not worried about the past year. And now you have a guy that is just so dynamic and so great that it's like, well, the other thing that's best and maybe goes unsaid is that he ain't going nowhere anytime soon.
Well, he's not. And he, you know, obviously locked up here for a long period of time, but this is the guy that you've dreamt about, right? This is the guy that you've wanted to see in a Royals uniform since George Brett retired back in 1993. Like, this is the guy that we've clamored for. And you mentioned stopping to watch every at bat. The last athlete that I did that for in baseball was Albert Pujols. I would stop and watch every at-bat that Albert had back in the day because he put on a show, right? Like, mm-hmm. he was unbelievable. Whether it was a hit or a home run, he was doing something special every single time he was at the plate. And that's kind of where I am now with Bobby Witt Jr. Like, every time he comes to the plate, he's doing something special. And if he doesn't get on base, you feel like, oh, man, what went wrong? Like, something's right. not right, because he gets on base all the time. And not only gets on base, but makes things happen. I felt like every time, again, he was on yesterday, he was scoring a run. He was doing something productive, you know, for this team, wearing out the pitcher, just kind of being out there. Like, this is a guy who absolutely dominates the game on both offense and on defense. He's really a one-of-a-kind player right now. And I think there's every other team in baseball is probably saying, damn, I wish we had Bobby Witt Jr., right? I wish we had that guy on our team. And we have him here in Kansas City. And quite honestly, we deserve to have him here in Kansas City for all the years of struggle that we've gone through, and all the bad players that have come through, and all the prospects that have never amounted to anything. To have this guy as our guy right now, he's not a fringe guy. He's not a marginal guy. He's not one of. He is the guy right now in Major League Baseball. And he's here. And sometimes I think you got to pinch yourself a little bit to realize what we're watching on a nightly basis is just the most glorious thing that baseball is rolling out right now.
You know, you guys talk about the MVP race, back it up with stats. It seems like you can, but I got a question for you guys. So first off, a couple days ago, Bobby Witt was plus 700. He's now plus 500. So MVP
big
odds,
drop.
Yeah, big drop.
Yeah.
Aaron Judge was minus 1,400. He's now minus 950. So starting to close that gap a little bit, but mention the stats. You can make the argument there for Bobby, but the argument, and I want to ask you guys, I would say this is a bigger criticism against Judge's case, is that his teammate Juan Soto's fourth in the MVP discussion. Wouldn't you say that is a huge criticism against his MVP case?
No, I don't. I think Juan Soto is I think quite honestly, Juan Soto is more valuable than Aaron Judge is. Wow. I love the way that Juan Soto has embraced New York and the way that the fans embraced him. It was a perfect move this offseason for both parties involved. And Juan Soto's got a dynamic bat. Like, he's more than just home runs too, right? And he's really good in the outfield as well. Like, you could make the case Juan Soto, Bobby Witt, like one and one A, you know, throwing Gunnar Henderson. Like, there's a lot of good players in baseball right now. Juan Soto is one of the best all-around players in Major League Baseball now.
Wouldn't you say that makes Judge a little less valuable?
No, I think they work well together. I don't think Judge is less valuable. I think, like, we want to poo-poo the home runs and whatnot because he plays in Yankee Stadium. He's still doing that. He's still putting up those numbers, even though I think batting average is more impressive than the home runs. I still think, like, Aaron Judge is still the face of that franchise, and when you're the face of the New York Yankees, you're always going to get the love regardless. Like, everybody loved up Jeter even though A-Rod was on the team, right? Like, that's just kind of the way it went. You know, Aaron Judge is the homegrown guy. A-Rod was the guy that was brought in. I think they love Juan Soto in New York, but there's a lot of trepidation on whether or not he's going to re-sign with the Yankees. Will he be a Met after this season? So I don't think a lot of, like, Yankee fans per se are buying into him like they have bought into Aaron Judge. Mm-hmm. Whether that means MVP or not, I don't know. But Aaron Judge is always going to be the face of that team, regardless of who's in the lineup. Just like Bobby Witt will always be here. If we get a running mate with Bobby Witt, it's going to be Bobby and maybe Juan Soto this offseason, John.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.